Today on the show, we brace ourselves for the impact of Hurricane Florence. Wendy shares a chance encounter with the FI community. Airman calls in to discuss special offers on cards that active military members can take advantage of. Miriam shares the importance of having a donor's account as a teacher. And Steve goes back to the drawing board with Todoist. Welcome to the Ultimate Crowdsource Personal Finance Show. This is your Friday Roundup.
You're listening to Choose FI Radio. The blueprint for financial independence lives here. If you're looking to unlock the secrets to financial independence and early retirement, you're in the right place. Stay tuned and join a community of like-minded people who are getting off the hamster wheel and taking control of their lives in the pursuit of financial independence. Choose FI, your home for financial independence online.
Guys, super excited to hop in today's episode and talk about all of our hurricane preparation here in Richmond, Virginia, as we have Florence tunneling towards your RVA area. And to help me with our hurricane preparations for the day, I have my co-host Brad here with me today. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, Jonathan. Yeah, I'm doing quite well. And yeah, like you said, we obviously have a hurricane coming somewhere in this vicinity. It's hard to know precisely where, but millions of people are really going to have a direct impact on the coast. So are you preparing in any way?
Well, you know, as much as we kind of teased preppers a little bit lightheartedly last year, now I got to say, even though I don't watch a whole lot of the news, with my little bit of social media access, I have been convinced that the world is going to end in 2 days. Andrew Frieden, who is a good friend of ours, who we follow on Twitter, let us know that we're looking at somewhere between 10 to 20 inches. If all things goes the way it's going right now, I think that's going to put us in the rainiest season of Richmond's entire history, possibly. The flood wall, which they built here in Richmond several decades ago now, really has never been utilized fully. And they think that there's a chance that it might be utilized. And as of right now, apparently people are prepping on water and making sure they have plenty of water stores and gasoline stores. And to be honest with you, I haven't done any of that, like nothing. And so I went to Costco the other day to get some groceries and I happened to notice that all the water was gone. And then the gas, there were people like around the block supplying with gas. And I'm thinking, we're not even on the coast. Is this just fear or is this just people being practical and prepared? And am I missing it? So after we get off this call, just out of a little bit of due diligence here, I am going to the shed and filling up these big coolers that we have with water just so we have something. It seems to me like that's a decent amount of preparation, but my wife was looking up how to prepare for a hurricane. She has this list of things that she had me doing like every 5 minutes. And I was wondering where it was coming from. And finally, I realized these thoughts don't just come to your brain. Are you reading something? Is this like coming from a list? Because you made it sound very organic. Oh, by the way, have you done this? Oh, by the way, have you done that? And I was like, wait a second, where is this coming from? And so, yeah, I think we're kind of getting sucked into preparation mode.
Yeah, it's a hard call. I hear you, because you don't want to be alarmist or be one of these preppers who's going out and spending hundreds, if not thousands of dollars buying generators and all this other stuff when this could just be a rain event. So it's hard for me to determine. I don't want to waste a lot of money, obviously, but I don't want to be in a situation where poor planning led me to having a water issue for my family, right? So I think we're kind of in a fairly fortunate position where we have a gas stove and we have, I think it's something crazy in my new house, like 100-gallon propane tank or 200-gallon. It's this absurdly large tank. So I think we shouldn't have an issue boiling water and cooking things. So, I mean, realistically, in anyone's closets or pantries, you probably have weeks worth of food. Actually, a neighbor of mine who listens to the podcast, Aaron, he looked up for our block, basically like where we are in the FEMA flood map. He does disaster recovery actually for a living. So he looked up our specific houses and we're like just outside of the 1,000-year floodplain, Jonathan. So I don't think we have to worry unless this is literally an event not seen.
Last time it flooded in your area, there were dinosaurs walking the earth.
Yeah, so I think I'm okay. But it's funny, in my new house, we have this finished basement and it's the first time I've ever had a basement. So of course I'm thinking, oh no, we have a creek in the backyard. We're going to get 20 inches of rain. Of course, my house is going to flood in the first 6 months of owning it. So, you know, that's a little concern. But then it's do you go out and buy sandbags? Like, I mean, is this a ridiculous thought? So anyway, you can go very far down the prepper rabbit hole, but I think basically we're just making sure we have food and water. And I think that's fairly reasonable.
Well, Danny was asking me to go ahead and move all the lawn furniture inside. Like, she didn't want something blowing and hitting the windows or that sort of thing. Like, the rabbit hole goes very, very deep. I may end up with every single physical possession I own, including the riding lawnmower, inside the house. That's how far if she had her way.
That's so funny.
But the other thing is that we lose power every single time it sprinkles outside. I mean, every single time. I was like 10 for 10 last year. There's a solid chance that when we record, you know, our next round of recordings, I'm going to be bringing a laptop to your place, because there's like zero chance we're getting out of this without losing power. It's just a guaranteed fact.
Yeah, I could definitely see that, unfortunately. But one Facebook post I wanted to highlight that just shows the power of this community is, since we're talking about Florence here, Lisa just posted an hour ago, basically right before we were recording. She said, "Hey, Choose the Fires, my wife, dog, and I live in Wilmington, North Carolina. In an effort to avoid Florence, we are getting in our little RV to drive towards Augusta, Athens, or the Atlanta area. Most RV sites are booked at this point. Does anyone out there have a driveway we could park in for a few days while we wait for Florence to pass?" I mean, literally in just the hour, I'm seeing 44 comments and people from all across the country. I mean, I think all the way up to like Michigan and down south to Jacksonville, I'm seeing like Dallas, Texas, people just offering up their driveways for them to park in. And that's amazing. It's just a testament to the power and value of this community, and really the values of this community. So really a huge thank you to everybody, and obviously everybody in the path. We hope you're safe this week.
And what's interesting about this, we're recording this on Tuesday, right? So when this actually goes live, we will have a pretty good sense of whether or not we were underprepared or overprepared.
We shall see. Hopefully we're quite prepared. That's the ideal scenario.
My here, wife, right? Is going to have that checklist freaking completed, man. I mean, it is.
Hey, Jonathan, I wanted to mention another amazing post talking about like the power of our community here and how serendipity just seems to occur sometimes. Wendy posted in the Choose FI admins group saying, "Coolest thing, I had to go to Tucson for a business. I decided to save a bit and do an Airbnb. I found this really nice one, good reviews, close to where I needed to be. I get there and I casually mention something about how cool it is he does this, and that I'm part of a financial independence community, house hacking, blah, blah, blah. And then a big smile comes across his face. He's like, 'Which one?' Then I tell him, 'Choose FI,' bigger smile. Then I smile and we high five each other. And then both of us start chatting away and sharing how we found it. Turns out we are both admins of our local groups too. Amazing, right? So anyway, if you're ever in Tucson, stay with Rob. He's super nice, chill, and a good conversation. Very clean too. The fire is spreading." I mean, how freaking amazing is that, Jonathan?
Oh, I got to go find his Tucson Airbnb listing and put it in the show notes for today's episode. That is awesome. That is so flipping cool. I love that. What are the odds? Like, what if the odds are getting really good? How much cooler would that be?
Well, yeah, that would be really cool. But right, I mean, what are the odds of just even talking about it? Wendy might never have met Rob at just some random Airbnb. Even if he owned it, sometimes, hey, just let yourself in. There's a keypad next to the door or something. Or she could have met him for 2 hours and never talked about FI. It's incredible that this actually came up. So yeah, I wonder like how many other people we meet in our daily lives who listen to this podcast or read The Mad Scientist or 1500 Days or J.L. Collins. Who knows, right?
Well, let's explore that just a little bit further. I wasn't planning on going in this direction, but I think it circles back to something that you've talked about in the past. And you mentioned that when you are starting a conversation with someone about financial independence, like there's these little indicators, these little flags that they might be open, you know, to this concept. And I agree. And I think maybe now, almost 175 episodes in, I think we probably have a better understanding of what those flags might be than maybe we did when we initially started. And I guess one of the things that comes to mind just in light of this exact conversation is Airbnb. If you're interested or you're looking at doing rentals or Airbnbs, and let's talk about Airbnbs in particular, because there is an intimacy between the owner and the occupant in that regards, because in many cases, you're having that interaction with them on a daily basis. And you're giving up a part of your life to increase your efficiency and increase and create a side hustle for yourself and your family. Like Airbnbs, I guess that individual, the person that's looking into that, it's not really a surprise to me that they would be interested in financial independence. And after 175 episodes, I have a feeling that we have a much better grasp on what some of those flags are. In light of this conversation, we're talking about Airbnbs. And I would say kind of right beside this would be house hacking, where you're potentially making your life just a little bit more efficient from an income perspective, and where other people, it's just an expense. You've actually created for yourself a little bit of income that maybe justifies that or speeds up your path to financial independence. Brad, have you thought recently about maybe what some of these other flags or indicators are that for you would say, you know what, this is a person I could have a conversation with about?
Yeah, I guess you're basically saying like just someone who may be open to it, right? Not like an indicator that they're already in the FI world, right? Am I hearing you right?
Yeah, it's kind of a little bit of both, because either of those will end up with you having a fun, interesting conversation if they're either open to it, or obviously if they are interested in the community, there's a lot of different ways that conversation can go. One of the things that I've noticed is that I am a little bit introverted when I don't know what I have in common with somebody, and I don't like if you meet somebody, you know nothing about them, and you're looking for common ground, and you decide the common ground is social media, pop culture, or sports, I'm lost, man. I'm just totally floundering around looking for common ground. But if I can move in any way, shape, or form to lifestyle by design, you know, or financial independence or personal finance, I'm going to light up and I'm not going to be able to stop talking. And so what are the flags for you that tell you that that is a possibility?
Yeah, I mean, I think the very original flag, which I had talked about probably 100 episodes ago, was just kind of looking for people in my regular life who are talking about any type of personal finance or money saving or clipping a coupon. And it's not to say that we're cheap or anything like that. People who are in the mindset to potentially save money, or who are probably trying to do something financially intelligent. So I think that's always been kind of my baseline. But now, as we've gotten into this, I've realized there are communities that are more open to this. Anybody trying to optimize their life in some way, that could be someone from who's into yoga or some type of strenuous exercise or biohacking, or who knows, someone who's buying a Tesla is probably going to be more open than just someone I would pick out of the phone book. So I think I'm looking for people who are thinking slightly differently, somebody who listens to a meditation app, people who are just kind of like on the newer edge of where I see things going in society. Again, that's a very broad brush. But again, like you're saying, house hacking, like if I know anybody that's into rental real estate, I just find that they're more open to the concept because they're thinking about cash flow and net income and passive income. That's the type of person I'm looking for. And naturally, if you're getting down to like, hey, I see what my friends are reading, or we're talking about books and they're reading something from Tim Ferriss or Jocko Willink or Carol Dweck's mindset, anybody who's looking to dive in to their own mindset and ways to move forward and live a better life. So I think like those are my quick hit thoughts. I'm sure I'm going to be kicking myself for missing something, but anything jump out to you?
Well, first of all, when you said the Tesla as something, maybe a flag that someone's open to optimization, my jaw just like fell off my face and landed on the ground. I thought about it a little bit more and then I was like, well, okay, maybe I can see that. I actually see where you're coming from there. $70,000 price tag, but you know, you're kind of leaning into the future a little bit. I see where you're coming from. I have a feeling some people would debate that one a little bit with you, but I get it. You know, when we kind of moved it from just personal finance to life optimization, it actually did kind of expand my universe and expand the common ground that I could find with people. Suddenly I found that I could talk to people about travel rewards, which then expanded my universe and allowed me to talk about actually traveling to different locations. And now we have friends from literally all over the world, and we have local groups all over the world. And so traveling has become a big part of my common ground that I find with people. And along with that, side hustles, starting businesses, that has become a large part of my common ground. And I think for me, it's actually become expanding my common ground, right? I mean, when I started this conversation, I said that I flounder when it talks about, you know, current events in social media world and sports, you know, and even in the political scene, all of those, I'm lost. I really, I either don't want to participate, or I don't know enough to participate. I usually know who's competing in the Super Bowl because I Google it right before it happens so that I don't look like a total, you know, jerk. And then when I used to work in the pharmacy, I would Google who my alma mater was playing on a Saturday, because inevitably people would come and ask me, oh, the game. I was like, oh, yeah, the game. But I just don't follow it. And I just used to fake that I cared. And now I just own that I don't care, like, at all. So that kind of felt a little bit limiting with finding your group. But in the context of this community, I found that I've been able to expand my common ground. And that's been very useful for me. And it's a genuine interest. It's not faking it to interact with society, because we have a community and the community is large and they're so interesting. How could you not want to ask a follow-up question? So any of these rabbit holes that these conversations can go, I'm fascinated by it. I'm just fascinated to see what people do when they have gotten some space, gotten some bandwidth between themselves and the hamster wheel. And I think that's why people say, you're an introvert. Like, really? Really? And it's because in this community, I'm not, obviously, but in the context of what that expected normal common ground is to get through the day in normal society, I am an introvert because I can't fake the interest long enough to be passable.
Yeah. And just as an aside, this is not to say that people who are into sports or politics or anything are not in our community. Obviously,
that's a very small, very small segment of the population that are interested in those. So we don't have to worry about what they think.
Oh, no. But yeah, I mean, travel was a great one. I think something you've seen in your own life is people who are into Dave Ramsey. Millions of people have learned the beginnings of personal finance from Dave Ramsey. And we certainly have many, many tens of thousands of people now in the FI community coming from that world. So, you know, these are kind of a lot of the things. And again, like you said, kind of mocking me about the Tesla, I think you're right. I was thinking more like the Model 3, the $30,000 one. But people who are looking to think a little bit differently, I think that's generally where I'm approaching it. And we'll probably kick ourselves for missing a couple. But that's what's fun about these conversations. And hopefully somebody starts it up on the Facebook group and we can further continue this conversation.
Well, talking about current events, Brad, Florence isn't the only thing going on right now. I know this was also the kids' first week back in school. Molly and Anna back in school. How did it go?
Yeah, it went really, really well. They just had a ball. I think this is kind of like a case study on how we've tried to raise our kids, where they really look forward to school. We never use any negative words around school or having to get up early or having a lot of homework. I've seen a lot of other families like kind of do this where it just seeps down to the kids. Whereas we are constantly talking about how lucky they are to be with their friends and do this project and that field trip and et cetera, et cetera. And Laura is constantly in there volunteering. She's the treasurer of the PTA. So we try to make it a fun experience. And whether we've done that or not, or they just love it, they just had a ball. So first and fifth grade seem to be off to a good start for sure.
Well, I wanted to mention this because it's not just a big week for the kids. It's also a big week for teachers. My wife is a teacher in third grade, and obviously we have a lot of teachers in our audience. And one of the things I wanted to mention is that teachers just, man, they just put such amazing work in. They're so selfless. And many times they end up funding a lot of these projects, especially in schools that don't have as much funding for these types of things themselves. A lot of money ends up coming out of their pocket. And Miriam in our Choosify Educators group left this amazing post, which I wanted to share both with you, Brad, but also with the community. She said, someone brought this up in their intro, so let's talk about it. And she said, I have been lucky enough to have two principals now who do let teachers give requests for purchases at the start of the year. But you know deep down that if you start asking for too much, they'll say no or they will forget. So if you don't have a Donors Choose account, I suggest that be your actionable step for the week. It's easy to do. I have had 4 projects funded and I have taught only 3 years. Basically, you set it up 4 months before you need the item because they automatically have a 4-month funding deadline. Big companies donate to Donors Choose because they, of course, take the tax write-off. Like this past spring, some company came in and funded every active project. Teachers can only deduct up to $250 of teacher supplies, but charitable donations have no limit that she knows of. It's like a super PAC for teachers. Let someone else with more money than you help you out. Projects do not have to be wild or innovative either. In March, I had a project called Supply Stock Up. The project was essentially everything you might see on an August school shopping list, plus a few classroom items like a pencil sharpener. Another idea I've heard of is making an Amazon wish list and letting people buy it for you. I don't do this. I think donors choose is the best option. I also know that each department in our school district has a budget of $5,000 each year, $6,000 for science, and ask how that has been allocated. Usually it turns into me doing the ordering for the department. And so then she opened it up to the educators to ask what tricks they had for reducing your out-of-pocket spending. But I'm going to put a link to Donors Choose in the show notes for today's episode. And I hope for the teachers out there, one, thank you for all you do for the kids that you're serving. And I hope that you find this helpful as you have an awesome year.
Jonathan, this is incredibly timely. And actually, you're reading this without, I haven't heard of this before, but it's so timely. It's amazing. In our school, they actually just changed how the PTA is allocating funds and giving it back to these specific teachers in like by grade level and giving them this fund essentially to buy items like she's describing. And why that's so interesting actually is not that. I mean, that's fairly commonplace, but it got me and Laura thinking about this. How can we give back to the school? And I don't think we ever truly realized there are these little items or sometimes big items that teachers have on a wish list. They never get them because they don't have the funds for them or they don't have a way to actually even ask. Last year, we learned that most of the teachers in school just wanted a simple rug for their kids to sit on for story time. If I knew that my kid's teacher needed a rug, I would have bought the rug in a heartbeat. Or one of them needed two Kindles, to $60 or $70 Kindles, basically to make the classroom experience better. And again, I would have went out the next day and bought those Kindles had I known. So we're actually contemplating sending an email to our kids' teachers and asking for a wish list just to see what they want. And it could be up to something that's like some amazing project. We're asking them to kind of just think big and what could we do to help? So I think this is kind of one of those beauties of being at FI is that we can allocate our resources how we see fit and how we think it adds the most value to our lives, our kids' lives, the community. And hopefully this is one of those instances. So yeah, I'm pretty excited about it.
Yeah, dude, that is so cool. And I would love to get some feedback from our audience. So if you were able to make an impact in the classroom, you were able to help make a teacher's life easier this year, let us know. We would love to feature that. One really cool thing, just going back to Miriam real quick, Miriam and Rob, who are in our Choose FI educators group, are working with Danny to pilot a curriculum. We've mentioned this a couple times, but Danny is on virtually weekly calls with them as they put this together. And Danny, I can see her. She is creating lesson plans. She has like 20 lesson plans done right now for the elementary school level. Rob and Miriam are doing something similar for the high school level. I think they're still looking for someone to kind of weigh in and help out figuring out how to adapt some of this at a middle school level. But there's a legitimate curriculum that's getting put together right now by people on this team. And I think this is really going to be powerful going into next year. I think so many of us have posited the phrase, why didn't I learn this sooner? Why don't they teach this in school, right? I think all of us at some level agree. And then the question is how? And it's great for two guys on a podcast to talk about these concepts. But in reality, the way that we present the content here is not usable inside the classroom. I mean, I'm not saying the information isn't the same, but the way it's presented, it needs to be structured as a useful element for an actual teacher that has to create a lesson plan around it. And you're not going to be signing up for a FI curriculum, most likely. What you'll be doing is you'll be taking the elements that are already in place and you'll be adding to them and making them a more rounded. So you're getting all the same information, but it's being implemented into the class structure that's already there. And I am not an educator, so this is like my version of what I feel like my wife has told me, but this is really happening. And I think going into next year with the community that we have, I mean, think about this. We have over 150 local groups all over the world, but specifically here in the domestic United States, we have teachers from every single state and at every level. We have administrators, we have principals, teachers. There is a real opportunity for us to work together as a community, have a lasting impact on, frankly, society, right? And I'm just trying to dream big here, but I am incredibly excited that Miriam, Rob, and Danny, they would be willing to take time to start working on this and taking something that we're so passionate about and modeling it, molding it for the next generation.
Yeah, what they're doing is nothing short of remarkable. And yeah, I just cannot wait to see where they go from here. I think the progress that they've made in just a few short months. I mean, we met Rob at the World Cup final just a couple months ago, and what they've done in, like I said, the last 2 to 3 months is really amazing. And yeah, this is the start of something big. And Jonathan, you and I have been looking into starting a Chooseify Foundation. And I think this is where this podcast, where this community goes from here for us. How can we give back in the best way possible, just to society at large? And how can we make an impact? It's through education. I think this kind of ties into the Treehouse Scholarship that we talked about a few months ago. And we have been intending to roll that out. But I think at this point, we're waiting to get the Chooseify Foundation set up. And that'll be really the first step that we do with the foundation. But truly, how I see the foundation, at least, is education and impact. So stay tuned. This is something that we're going to spend a whole lot of time on in 2019 and beyond. But this is where we are, and this is where our thought process is.
I just love the fact that we're talking about a foundation. Do you remember almost a month ago now, we were saying, oh, and it turns out to do this scholarship, we would need to start a foundation, and we don't know how to start a foundation. So instead, we're going to look to partner with a foundation. Well, then we brought Ed on board. And Ed actually mapped out the process to start a foundation. He's looked it all up, and this is his checklist. This is what he's working on. Form a non-stock corporation under Virginia state law. Submit the names of the directors. Choose a name for the foundation. Prepare and file non-stock articles of incorporation. And this is actually a form for the Virginia State Corporation Committee. Then you need to include specific language to optimize it for the federal 501c3 application process. And there's all sorts of stuff that goes into that. You have to have a statement of purpose. You have to have a statement that your nonprofit will not engage in prohibited political or legislative activity. Then you have all sorts of internal stuff. I mean, this is like a 20-point checklist that he's working on. Like, my eyes just glaze over as I read it, but he is knocking this out. So the hope is that he can figure out how to get us from zero to a foundation, and then a foundation to somehow help roll this curriculum out all over the country. So I think there really is something here, though. So limiting belief, Brad, that it's not something that you can handle. You just need to find the right team. And I think Ed can help us pull this off. But for me, the guiding light is that you don't know what you don't know until you do. And that's a thread that ties us to this past week's episode with Will Boland, who is the co-founder of Carlots. In particular, what really stood out to me is this idea, and he said this, it's not the idea, it's the process. And I think for the entrepreneur, you realize that the themes are the same. Like, if we weren't doing Chooseify, we were doing an alternate business altogether. Obviously, the messaging changed, the purpose changed, but the tactical stuff that happens in the background looks the same. There's these same components that go into building a business. There's the accounting, there's the marketing, there's the building the team, there's management. All of those elements remain the same. And that's what Will understood he had to figure out. And he was willing to put himself through kind of like this seesaw jungle gym type experience in terms of what he was making from an income perspective, foregoing maybe the guaranteed six-figure salary that he was getting in investment banking to explore this path, this entrepreneurial journey, which allowed him to be where he is now, maybe not fully caught up to where he would have been if he had stayed in investment banking, but it gives him total control over his schedule, total control over his life. And he gets to work on the projects that light him up, and he gets to focus on the tasks that serve his natural strengths. And that was something that really appealed and resonated with me.
Yeah, I think the word that you're using there is explore. This exploration is what I took away from Will's story. A lot of this was just him trying to find that idea. I think he said something, I didn't have an idea on entrepreneurship, but what he did was he explored. He went to that startup in Raleigh and took, I think he said 15 or probably more than that, pages of notes, detailed specific notes from the founder. I just thought that was a fascinating idea. And it was, how did he have the presence of mind to do that? And what he did was he told the founder that he, quote, wanted to be like him. What a cool thing that instead of the founder responding negatively, he said he'd do whatever he could to help Will achieve that objective. And because Will was open and transparent and basically said, I'm going to work my tail off, but my goals are this, they were aligned. To have that ability to be there right next to this founder who he found incredibly intelligent, thoughtful, and knowledgeable, to be there every single day and get all this in-depth information just because he was honest. That to me is a very unusual story, but it has obviously helped Will dramatically. And I think it's something that can be replicated.
And Brett, I thought he had a really fascinating point when he was talking about the purpose and validity of getting a business plan. I was curious, what were your thoughts on that as well?
Yeah, this was an interesting one. And I think Will was back and forth in this. He thought that it was time well spent. But when they sat down as a couple of Harvard MBAs and wrote their business plan, I think at that point, they thought this was how it was going to be. We're writing it in stone. The truth was, where Carletts is today is completely different from what that business plan would have suggested. So that doesn't invalidate the business plan because he thought that it was time well spent to actually really think it through. But he said, ultimately what matters is that you're solving a real problem and you're working hard to do it. That's the takeaway for the audience is when you're building a business, find a real problem that real human beings have and try to fix that problem. Obviously, as Will's saying, you have to work pretty hard along the way to do it. So I thought that was kind of a cool takeaway. And when he was talking about like raising money, now most of us aren't going to raise money from VCs to start up a business, but Will did, and he gave us his on the ground example of what happened here, right? And he said they went in thinking they were going to raise a boatload of money. And the investors pretty much said, well, you need to prove this. And I think he said, quote, if you can prove the concept on a small scale, we'll write you a bigger check. What they did was they weren't, oh, poor me about it. It was, we're going to sit down. Does this make sense? Do we think we can build this business? They took no salaries. They didn't pay themselves a salary. And these are three guys who had pretty successful careers to that point. So that was not nothing there. That was a big step to take without a salary. But they believed in the concept. They believed that there was a problem that they wanted to fix for their customers, their future customers, right? That didn't exist at that point. But prove it on that small scale, we'll write you a bigger check. And that's what they did. And really, kudos to them for taking that chance. This was not the obvious play. It seems like it in retrospect, right? But Will lived apart from his wife for a considerable amount of time. She was in Raleigh. He was living at home with his parents in Richmond, right? Like after he had went to UVA and Harvard Business School and had a job in investment banking, he's living at home with his parents. So this was not the obvious play. So he really is a very impressive story all around.
Yeah. And there was one other point that I wanted just to spend a minute on. And this was basically him highlighting for us that if you wait until it's perfect, then you've waited too long. I want to go back to, frankly, just like with Choosify, with what we did here. When we launched, nobody would think that the show was perfect. Clearly, there was room for growth. But I am so glad that we started at the beginning of 2017 and didn't wait a year so I could practice all of my podcasting skills and get everything finely tuned before releasing that first episode. You will get better at anything. Forget podcasting. You will get better at any activity after you have done it. It's okay to get better as you go. It's okay to some degree, this pufferfish strategy, to fake it until you make it. It truly is part of the process. I love that Will was willing to share. Like, frankly, some of the stuff that he shared was embarrassing. Like if you're looking at the highest level, but realizing that it is a part of growth and you will have a version of this. There have been times like producing this show, creating this, that things have crashed and burned behind the scenes. And our process has gotten better for it. And, you know, someone that has binge listened to every episode from episode one to now close to episode 175 is going to hear kind of a smoothing of the process over time. This can be applied to anything. And you will only be able to measure that progress when you have visibly put something out into the universe. You know, I think for the entrepreneur, it's okay to have a failure, but fail forward.
And it's always important to iterate. You and I had a 90-minute phone call yesterday talking about what we want Choosify to look like from a podcast perspective in the next year or two. By no means do we think this is perfect. So I suspect strongly that you and I will look back at episode 175 with the same kind of cringing horror that we look back on episodes 1 through 10. That's the beauty, though, is that doesn't mean it's stopping us. We're not paralyzed by it. We're not paralyzed by the fact that we're not perfect today. We're clearly not perfect. I mean, that goes without saying. And I don't think we ever will be, right? But that's the beauty of learning, growing, trying new things. Like you said, sometimes it crashes and burns beyond all belief. And sometimes you come up with something that you couldn't have imagined would work as well as it did. But that's the beauty of actually trying, right? And what do we talk about at Choosify all the time? Take action. Don't sit on your couch, watch the world pass you by. Take action. So Will clearly did that. We are trying to do that here. And we hope that you and the audience are doing the same in your lives.
And Brad, you know, we can't walk away from this roundup without talking about the life resume. How powerful was that?
Yeah, this was awesome. Our ears perked up when we heard life resume. That's one of those terms hopefully we'll be talking about for years now. And when we asked him towards the end of the episode where he would have been financially, he said he's behind where he would have been financially, but quote, I'm way ahead from a life design perspective. And he's talking about the time that he's able to spend with his family, with his kids. And he's been able to build this life resume that's not just the job resume. And truly, from a life design perspective, if I could put words into Will's mouth, just knowing what I know about him, he would probably have three main pillars. He would have time and experiences with his family. He'd have other personal pursuits. Like, I know he loves to run marathons, which is just such a neat thing. And what an amazing goal to decrease your time constantly and run in different marathons across the country and world potentially, and obviously building his business. So I think those are the three pillars that I would say.
He made a very poignant comment and he said, the thing that I'm afraid of is that I look back on my life and realize that I didn't take the chance. I just took the safe path and I didn't get to explore this life resume. To me, Will is, he's not, I'm sorry guys, he is not going to retire early. This is not going to be his path. He is passionate about this business that he's created, and retiring early is not a tenet of this philosophy, right? It is building a life by design. I think he has the option. He will very likely have the option to walk away, or he's created something that he can employ his family down the road. So he always has a foot in the door and he can watch his kids take over the business down the road. That's amazing. I mean, it really is remarkable. And I kind of want to circle back to, you know, we talked about a lot of the features in the news, talking about the FIRE community. I think from the mainstream media perspective, the retire early, you know, that I'm assuming that's the part of it that gets the clicks from the outside world. People are like, what? This person retired at the age of 33? What? And that's what gets them to click. So that will always be a component of it. But what we find with our community is that once you're inside the community, very, very quickly, you see that the retirement part seems very optional. It's maybe, what do I want to retire to? I want to retire from corporate America. I want to retire from a job that I don't enjoy, but I also don't want to sit on the couch and do nothing. You can bypass all of this if you build something on the side that lights you up, or if you find a job that lights you up, in which case the RE may still get clicks on the paper, but it probably won't define who you are as a person. And I think it's important to highlight that it's not a tenant of this life optimization strategy that we're all pursuing. Autonomy, mastery, purpose. That for me just sums it up. All right, well, let's go ahead and crowdsource the remainder of the show. And one of the things that I wanted to do is to play a voicemail that we got from Military Dollar, who writes over at militarydollar.com. We're actually interviewing her later on this fall. She's coming on the show to talk about a military path to financial independence. But she wanted to weigh in with some travel rewards tips for people that are in the military.
Hi, Brad and Jonathan. This is Airman Mildollar, aka the blogger behind militarydollar.com. I wanted to follow up on the discussion about travel rewards. As you know, a large contingent of your audience is made up of military members. Credit card rules are different for us because we can take advantage of special military offers. I've been doing my own credit card for a year now, and I have some recommendations for people to maximize those offers. Let me start out by saying that what I'm about to discuss almost universally only applies to members in active status. This means either active duty military members or Guard and Reserve members who are in active status. Unfortunately, what I'm discussing isn't usually extended to members in reserve status, retirees, and veterans. First, several companies will waive annual fees for active military members, including Chase. Because of that and the rules against having two Sapphire cards at once, I now recommend to military members that they just start with the Chase Sapphire Reserve. They don't have to worry about the $450 annual fee, and they still get all of the benefits, including the $300 travel credit. Unfortunately for me, Chase changed the Sapphire policy after I got the Chase Sapphire Preferred, so I still have to wait another year before I can get the Reserve for myself. The reason Chase is waiving annual fees for active military was announced as part of the implementation of the Military Lending Act, which had a bunch of new rules that went into effect on October 3rd, 2017. However, it's kind of misleading to say that it's because of the Military Lending Act. If you carefully read the MLA language, it's actually optional for the companies to waive those fees. Because of the optional portion of the law, not all companies will waive annual fees for military. That means you need to be careful when choosing cards so you don't get stuck paying an annual fee you weren't expecting. Make sure you do your research about which companies do and don't waive the fees. American Express also has some great cards and waives annual fees for military. Another thing to know is that some companies will also extend these benefits to spouses of active military members, but they don't write that down in the official policy, so make sure you verify. Each company has a special military line you can call. I haven't heard of anybody having issues getting fees waived for spouses, but you never know. For military members in inactive status, what you want to do is apply while you are activated. Then you will be able to at least enjoy the benefits for a while. If you see that your annual fee waiver is no longer being applied because you are in inactive status again, you can always cancel the card. Remember, it can take a few weeks for the companies to verify your active status, so you want to apply when you will be in active status for a while. Brad and Jonathan, your travel rewards episode inspired me to start, and a year later, I've earned over 300,000 points with not much effort and at no cost thanks to the waived annual fees. I'd love it if other military listeners can take advantage too. So thanks for letting me have a moment to share a military-specific hack. I really appreciate the show and the community. See you guys around the Facebook group.
Yeah, thank you for the voicemail. Greatly appreciate it. And yeah, this is certainly useful for military members and specifically active duty, as she mentioned. Annual fees being waived is a huge benefit. Really glad to see Chase, and I know American Express has done this for years, where they waive fees on all their credit cards. And obviously, when you're talking about the higher fee cards, like the Amex Platinum or the Chase Sapphire Reserve, that can be a huge savings for military members. So yeah, I mean, it really is a straightforward process. You just open up the card, you call in to verify your active duty status. I think they look it up in the Department of Defense database, and you get your fee waived. So it really can be a huge savings, and this is a great benefit and well-deserved, certainly.
All right, now I got one more for you. So I feel like we've given a shout out to teachers. We've given a shout out to the military. Wanted to do one more today talking about productivity. And this is from Steve. And Steve wanted to say, like Brad Barrett, I am a super fan of using Todoist to manage my entire life. So I took one of the books that I published last year and I turned it into a step-by-step tutorial on how to use Todoist to build habits and remember all of those important tasks that you need daily. So I have actually included the link to his article here. His website is developgoodhabits.com. And I do think that there's room in our lives for tools to make building good habits a little bit easier. And Brad, I know that you've done this successfully. I have found that being able to check something off of my day has been huge for me being able to accomplish things consistently. Like, my own willpower is enough to carry me through maybe 1 to 2 days, maybe even up to a week. But in order for something to be integrated and become a pattern in my life, it takes an external force. And it doesn't have to be a huge external force. It could be as simple as a checklist. But I'm going to link to the article in the show notes. But I know you have been consistently using Todoist for over a year now?
Yeah, it's probably bumping up on 2 years. And this has become my external memory. And it's so marvelously freeing, I have to say, to put every recurring task. So, I mean, it's everything that I have in my life that occurs even on any type of basis, from as rarely as renewing my passport. So like when I had my passport show up, I saw I needed to renew them in, let's say, the year 2022. So I literally backdated that 6 to 9 months and put it in Todoist, to something as frequently as, I don't know, changing the air filters in my house every month, or getting new contact lenses every 2 weeks, or whatever it may be. So I just put these recurring tasks in and I never have to think about them ever again. There's no mental space being taken up by, oh, I have to do this on October 17th and I have to do that on September 22nd. None of that, literally none. It's all in Todoist. And it has really made just a significant difference in my entire quality of life. Like, I really cannot overstate had that this is the number one life hack for me in the last couple of years.
Well, I think that sets us up, because I realize that there are things that you have figured out. There are things that I have figured out that we've both adopted into our lives. I'm using Todoist now because of you. You're using that purchasing comparison app, Camel, because I told you about it. But there are an infinite number of these types of tips and tricks that are out there that people have landed on. And really, there was no compelling reason to share them because one, is someone even going to be interested? And then two, take action on it, that sort of thing. So we've encouraged our community for the longest period of time to leave a voicemail, but there really hasn't been a process in place. And as part of this call that Brad and I were on last night, we talked about the fact that we want to massively, massively increase the amount of community engagement on this show. This Friday show is your voice. It's your common meeting ground, and we want to include you on it. One of the easiest ways for us to do this is by letting you know about how you can actually leave a voicemail like Airman Mildollar did for this particular tip. And there's a couple different types of voicemails that we're looking for that will be played on the show. And that is productivity tips, something that you figured out, a business that you started or a tip for starting a business. We would love to feature or play those, a side hustle idea, a travel rewards trip that you've taken or a travel rewards win that you've had, a college tip, so college hacking, something that you've used that you think that other people would benefit from. Brad, is there anything that you would add onto that, or was that pretty comprehensive?
Yeah, Jonathan, that was pretty comprehensive. I would say maybe like a frugal win of the week or some type of win you've had or action you've taken. Like, we want to hear your stories. I think that's the biggest thing for me. This is not and has never been the Jonathan and Brad show. This is the FI community show, and we want and need your feedback and your input. So I feel like it's always been too nebulous of, oh, send us a voicemail. I wouldn't send a voicemail in if I was a listener and I just didn't know what to send it in on. But we're going to have a list of these 5 to 10 categories. And we very specifically are asking you as the audience, please leave us a voicemail. That's what we need. Or just an email to feedback@chooseify.com and just put in the subject, life hack or college tip or whatever it may be. And we will read these things. We will play them on the show. That's what we need. That's where the future of Chooseify is going. That's kind of my overall thing. I guess, Jonathan, my other thing that popped into mind is second generation FI might be another one that I'd add on to it.
Yeah, and we said college hacking, but also scholarships. If you know someone that was able to get an unusual scholarship and there's something replicable there, we want to crowdsource these. So yeah, all of those would be an incredible value add. And we're going to give this shout out, maybe not this quite this long of one, but we're going to mention this for a while on the show. But basically, if you have any of these ideas, there's a voicemail button on the homepage, or you can at any time, point in time, you can just go to chooseify.com/voicemail and you can leave us a voicemail from your smartphone or your computer if you have a microphone. Yeah, that would be absolutely awesome. And I think it's one of the more fascinating things about the show is you don't know what you're going to get because the show is sourced from the community. It's a way to demonstrate the awesome ideas that this community actually has. So we are excited to include you in it.
Yeah, and Jonathan, in light of that, I picked up just a couple of random little short posts from the Facebook group this week that I wanted to highlight where Tim said, our local news reported today that the Federal Trade Commission has enacted a rule whereby people can lock and unlock their credit reports at no charge effective September 21st, and there is no limit as to how often you can do it. So that's kind of a neat little hack here. Kelly chimed in as the win of the week, or maybe the win of a lifetime, is I now have $0 in debt. And she was just thrilled about this. And another one here was Chris chimed in saying, I was just called dumb because I was explaining to someone that my wife and I are going to be saving up to purchase a car with cash. And I can guarantee you, Chris, you would not be called unintelligent here in the FI community for buying a car in cash. So you know you have your community behind you. And it's just interesting when kind of you bring these ideas out into the real world. And yeah, unfortunately, some people don't get it right away. So yeah, I just wanted to kind of publicly highlight. Good for you, Chris.
And Brad, last thing before we close for the day, I wanted to mention, I saw that our good friend Mr. Groovy just released a book catered to the financial independence community titled A Groovy Guide to Financial Independence. And I was so happy to see that your blurb got included in it.
Yeah, it was cool. Mr. Groovy asked me to write up, I guess, kind of like an ending to his chapter on health and fitness. So yeah, I put that together and it was neat to see in the book. So I definitely enjoyed that. And I'm working my way through the book right now. I'm only up to chapter 3, but so far so good. I'm really enjoying it. And yeah, we'll put a link to the book in the show notes, of course, so anybody who's interested can check it out.
All right, guys. Well, unfortunately, that is going to bring this episode to a close. Now, as you know, we like to finish every episode by doing a drawing for a copy of a book that we have found useful. If you want to enter the drawing, all you need to do, just go to chooseify.com/iTunes. Follow the instructions there to leave us a written review on either Stitcher or iTunes, and then send us an email to feedback@chooseify.com, letting us know that you left a review and what screen name you left it under. There's three books that we offer. It's J.L. Collins' book, The Simple Path to Wealth, Dominic Cortuccio's book, Design Your Future, and Vincent Puglisi's book, Freelance to Freedom. And Brad, I think it would be appropriate this week to maybe go and add a fourth book as an alternative in there. Let's add Mr. Groovy's book. Again, we give away one book for every five written reviews that we get, and we announce the winner on the Friday roundup. And Brad, how many winners do we have today?
All right, Jonathan, we have one winner today, and the winner is Annika.
Annika says, hook, line, and sinker. This week, I was waiting in suspense for the Friday roundup, mind blown with the concept of IRA investment property ownership. I was already hooked to your podcast and had just finished listening to all of the prior episodes, and it's awesome to hear the progression of not just your personal journeys to FI, but the mastery you have developed with podcasting. And at this point, I venture to say that you have a cult-like following, just like Mr. Money Mustache. Yours is the first podcast I look for as I open my app daily, and as a very active individual, I prefer to listen to you guys while I am doing house, yard work, food prepping, driving to work, or working out rather than sitting down to read a blog, which is why it's taken me a few months to sit down and write a review. Seems like every topic is covered is applicable to me in some way. I am starting behind the curve on my FI journey as a veterinarian. Yes, all of the grad school and federal loans. But now I am feeling more confident than ever that FIRE is a possibility for me. We got rid of our TV and haven't subscribed to any entertainment except Audible for over 2 years. I am rocking out my side hustle of Airbnb hosting. Brad, there it is, Airbnb. Living my healthiest and fittest life, baffling my coworkers by never buying lunch with them, practicing intermittent fasting, eating less meat, and working out on my lunch breaks, and now investing in index funds and real estate. My husband is active duty military, and I was just commissioned in the Army Reserve, which is another life hack to help my FI journey. I found you through Bigger Pockets by way of Bigger Pockets Money, and although I really like listening to Minnie and Scott, who were the first to introduce me to this concept of FI, I just love that you talk about so many more topics: health, fitness, geo-arbitrage, college hacking, diet, travel, investing, etc. Thanks for the awesome content, and know that we are all in suspense waiting for the next out-of-the-box tip that could bring us closer to living the best life possible with the freedom of health, happiness, and financial independence. Brad, this highlights what I want this show to be. I strive every single week to get this show here. This is a life optimization strategy that we are listening and taking action ourselves, and that is reflected by the community that we are hoping to connect. This was amazing. Annika, I have chills down my arm. I can see it right now. The hairs are standing up. Thank you so much for sharing. All right, my friends, the fire is spreading. We'll see you next time as we continue to go down the road less traveled.
You've been listening to Choose FI Radio Podcast, where we help middle-class America build wealth one life hack at a time.